Seldom have the stakes been higher for America. What we do and say here will make all the difference to auto workers in Detroit, lumberjacks in the Northwest, steel workers in Steubenville who are in the unemployment lines, to black teenagers in Newark and Chicago, to hard-pressed farmers and small businessmen, and to millions of everyday Americans who harbor the simple wish of a safe and financially secure future for their children. To understand the State of the Union, we must look not only at where we are and where we're going, but where we've been. The situation at this time last year was truly ominous. The last decade has seen a series of recessions. There was a recession in 1970, in 1974, and again in the spring of 1980. Each time, unemployment increased and inflation soon turned up again. We coined the word stagflation to describe this. Government's response to these recessions was to pump up the money supply and increase spending. In the last 6 months of 1980, as an example, the money supply increased at the fastest rate in post-war history, 13%. Inflation remained in double digits, and government spending increased at an annual rate of 17%. Interest rates reached a staggering 21.5%. There were 8 million unemployed. Late in 1981, we sank into the present recession, largely because continued high interest rates hurt the auto industry and construction, and there was a drop in productivity and the already high unemployment increased. This time, however, things are different. We have an economic program in place completely different from the artificial quick fixes of the past. It calls for a reduction of the rate of increase in government spending, and already that rate has been cut nearly in half. But reduced spending alone isn't enough. We've just implemented the first and smallest phase of a 3-year tax rate reduction designed to stimulate the economy and create jobs. Already, interest rates are down to 15.75%, but they must still go lower. Inflation is down from 12.4% to 8.9%, and for the month of December, it was running at an annualized rate of 5.2%. If we had not acted as we did, things would be far worse for all Americans than they are today. Inflation, taxes, and interest rates would all be higher. A year ago, Americans' faith in their governmental process was steadily declining. 6 out of 10 Americans were saying they were pessimistic about their future. A new kind of defeatism was heard. Some said our domestic problems were uncontrollable, that we had to learn to live with this seemingly endless cycle of high inflation and high unemployment. There were also pessimistic predictions about the relationship between our administration and this Congress. It was said we could never work together. Well, those predictions were wrong. The record is clear, and I believe that history will remember this as an era of American renewal, remember this administration as an administration of change, and remember this Congress as a Congress of destiny. Together, we not only cut the increase in government spending nearly in half, we brought about the largest tax reductions and the most sweeping changes in our tax structure since the beginning of this century. And because we indexed future taxes to the rate of inflation, we took away government's built-in profit on inflation and its hidden incentive to grow larger at the expense of American workers. Together, after 50 years of taking power away from the hands of the people in their states and local communities, we have started returning power and resources to them. Together, we have cut the growth of new federal regulations nearly in half. In 1981, there were 23,000 fewer pages in the Federal Register, which lists new regulations, than there were in 1980. By deregulating oil, We've come closer to achieving energy independence and help bring down the cost of gasoline and heating fuel. Together, we have created an effective federal strike force to combat waste and fraud in government. In just 6 months, it has saved the taxpayers more than $2 billion, and it's only getting started. Together, we've begun to mobilize the private sector, not to duplicate wasteful and discredited government programs, but to bring thousands of Americans into a volunteer effort to help solve many of America's social problems. Together, we've begun to restore that margin of military safety that ensures peace. Our country's uniform is being worn once again with pride. Together, we have made a new beginning, but we have only begun. No one pretends that the way ahead will be easy. In my inaugural address last year, I warned that the ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away, because we as Americans have the capacity now, as we've had it in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. The economy will face difficult moments in the months ahead, but the program for economic recovery that is in place will pull the economy out of its slump and put us on the road to prosperity and stable growth by the latter half of this year. And that is why I can report to you tonight that in the near future, the State of the Union and the economy will be better, much better, if we summon the strength to continue on the course that we've charted. And so, the question, if the fundamentals are in place, what now? Well, two things. First, we must understand what's happening at the moment to the economy. Our current problems are not the product of the recovery program that's only just now getting underway, as some would have you believe. They are the inheritance of decades of tax and tax and spend and spend. Second, because our economic problems are deeply rooted and will not respond to quick political fixes, we must stick to our carefully integrated plan for recovery.